Good morning, good people. This is Kipling Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And I am joined in the studio this morning for a real celebration, I think. We've got Dean Darkus Bowles from the School of Social Work at Clark Atlanta University. And we also have an alum of that school, Atasha Murray has established a $50,000 endowed scholarship for aspiring entrepreneurs at the Whitney M. Young Jr. School of Social Work at Clark Atlanta University. And I'm so happy to have you ladies here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Dean Bowles, I'm going to start with you. Atasha Murray is a recent graduate from the School of Social Work here at Clark Atlanta University. She got her master's in 2002.
That's correct.
And do you remember her as a student? What was Atasha Murray like?
Yes, I remember Atasha as a student. She was a very good student. And I recall that she came to get scholarship money. And I referred her to a Professor Roan, who at the time had a grant for domestic violence. And she was the recipient of a small scholarship fund from the domestic violence grant that we had. And she reminded me that that was important for her, and that is one of the reasons that she wanted to give back, because the scholarship that she got helped her to be able to complete her studies successfully.
And Atasha, you completed your studies. Thank God for that scholarship.
Absolutely.
You completed your studies, and a lot of folks, I remember growing up, a lot of my classmates wanted to be social workers, because you think of social workers as people who are out there on the front lines helping in the community. But I don't think a lot of people think of social workers as entrepreneurs. So can you tell our listeners what drew you to the field of social work? And also, after getting that degree and entering into that field, what made you take the path of entrepreneurship?
Sure. Well, as a kid growing up, I was always the go-to person. I always was the one that everybody called on to solve the problems. And even as a teen, I volunteered at the local hospital, and I kind of knew that I always wanted to be a helper. And with that being said, social work is like a ministry. You know, you don't really make a lot of money in it. But I wanted to be able to do something creative to do my passion and still do well. And so that's why I chose the entrepreneur route, because it allowed me to do well and allowed me to be able to have a schedule that's pretty flexible and do some creative things in my practice as I work with my clients.
And so tell our listeners what you actually did. What was that practice? How did you go about making it entrepreneurial? And who were the clients that you worked with?
Sure. I work with kids. I have a pediatric practice, and we work with special needs kids. And what we do, we are responsible for coordinating their special services that they may need. And it's a niche, because I only serve from birth to three years of age. That's kind of the niche. And we go out into the homes, into their community. So we are the first social service that the families encounter. And so I wanted to be able to be a model for other social workers to show that there are other creative ways of doing social work and not necessarily working at DFACS or, you know, being a case manager, and that you really can do well with the practice. So by me deciding to having my own business, it really opened up a lot of doors for me.
And I would imagine in those first 3 years, if you have a child with special needs anywhere along the spectrum of special needs, that you're under a lot of stress and strain. New babies bring lots of stress and strain. Mm-hmm. So a new baby with special needs, it's got to ratchet up that mothering and that parenting skills that are needed.
Absolutely. And we were there to be the first one in to support many times. And particularly, we see a lot of the syndromes, the Down syndrome autism, which is devastating for a first-time parent. And we're able to provide that comfort to make sure that the kid is getting what they need. And the neat part about it is that we make the transition into the school system so that the child can start earlier on in the public education to continue whatever special services that the kid may need.
And Dean Bowles, in the School of Social Work, is entrepreneurial track something that's shared with the School of Social Work students? Does this come from the students, or does this come from the academics?
Well, students know that they can move into business if they choose to, that they can move into private practice. But I think what Ms. Murray did was unusual. She saw a niche in terms of working with young parents who had children with special needs. And she said, this is an area where I can move in, help the parents, help them with the children very young, then help to integrate them into the school system. So she found this special niche, developed, bought herself a building, established her practice and hired other workers, and then built this phenomenal practice that not only provided a major contribution to the community, but provided resources for her as well.
And talking about those resources, when you started your practice, you bought your building. And a lot of folks don't do that, Atasha. A lot of people open restaurants, they open retail outlets, they open doctor's practices, but they never own it. They're leasing, they're negotiating every 10 years. I've had friends who've almost lost their businesses because of those negotiations that come up on leasing. So again, what was your mindset? What made you decide to invest in your business in that way?
Sure. Well, I was thinking, you know, when I did the number, I ran the numbers, and you were absolutely correct, the leasing 10 years. And I'm thinking, really, can I commit to 10 years? And the amount of money that I would have been paying to rent, I could have actually owned. So I'm thinking in my mind, this is my retirement. Let me purchase this building as part of my retirement, and it would be there when I retire. That's what I was thinking going in. And it turned out to be great because, of course, you know, we had the real estate bust. And fortunately, I owned my building, so I was able to hang on, you know, through that time.
And you bought this building, you built your practice, you survived through the recession. And then what made you decide, was it time to retire? What made you decide that it was time to sell that building?
Well, actually, we got a knock on the door from a developer, just knock on the door, wanted to buy the practice. We were in prime location, and they wanted to buy the entire, really the entire neighborhood they wanted to buy. And I was a little emotional. I said, this is my baby. I don't know that I really want to sell this. But after we kind of sat down, we got everybody to the table, and we got a phenomenal offer, you know, three times more than what I paid for. And I said, you know, this is an opportunity to really change my life. Although I was doing well as an entrepreneur, but it would give me more options and to help me get closer to my goal, financial freedom, actually. And so we decided, let's do this.
And so you accept this phenomenal offer, you sell your practice, you sell the business. What then made you reach out to Dean Bowles? Because as you said, this was a chance for you to start your life anew, to do something different for your life, to provide you with options.
Sure.
So why then was a call to Dean Bowles?
Well, you know, I thought about this, you know, it's all favored by God. Again, none of this was planned. Had no idea somebody would be knocking on the door, going to pay me three times more than what I paid. And I thought about who did the most for me as I was beginning my career coming over CAU. I was out of school 5 years before I decided to go back and get a master's. It's a little older. And so I basically had professors who stood up and actually said, you know, you were really great. And I took that to heart when I graduated. And I really felt like I could conquer the world. And I did. And I said, that's what I like to do. I like to give something back in a big way. I didn't really know exactly what I was wanting to do. But I scheduled a meeting with Dean Bowles, and we got to talk, and we talked about scholarships. That was one of the biggest needs that she needed. And she said, well, why don't you do an endowment? And I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. So we talked about what that meant, meaning it would be perpetual, meaning it lives on forever and that my name would remain at this university. And I thought, that's pretty cool. That's what I want to do. So I wanted to do the gift of the $50,000 because I figured it would at least give us a start. That's something that we can start with. And we will hold that fund until it matures, and then the university will actually pay out the interest. So that principal will remain here forever. And I thought that was just phenomenal.
But the good thing about that is that we were at the time having a fundraising drive, and Coke, her $50,000 was matched by Coca-Cola. So her fund is actually $100,000. And what she hasn't said, we're waiting for the fund to mature so that we can use the interest for scholarships. But because I had been the dean when she was a student, and I'm now interim dean and will be retiring when the new dean comes, she wanted me to be to give the first scholarship out. So she's giving an additional $2,500 to a student this year. We've already selected the student. The money will be given out on Saturday, May 14th at our hooding ceremony. And she wanted me to be the first person, the first dean to give the money because I've known her for a period of time. So I'm really flattered and honored by that.
It is just all smiles and celebration in the studio because this is such a great story.
Yes.
So, Atasha, did you think back to when you approached Dean Bowles and needed the scholarship to continue your education?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, because, again, I got so much support, and I was a working student. So what that scholarship did for me at the time allowed me to leave my job and be able to concentrate on my education for Hawley. And that last year, I made a 4.0 just because I didn't have any distractions. And so, you know, I just felt I had to give back. In fact, I looked at that letter a couple of days ago, and I'm like, wow, not even knowing that, you know, I would be in a position to come back and give back, you know, to the school in such a huge way. And it's just been amazing. And just the story itself, I'm even amazed at it because, again, this is something I never thought that I could do, not in my lifetime, that I could actually do. And so for me to be able to live out dreams is so phenomenal. And my goal is to grow the fund. I like to grow the fund and perhaps open it up at later for other students that are interested in going into business, just because I think that being an entrepreneur, it allows you to start building wealth and leaving a legacy for your family. And that's what I truly want to be able to leave. So every time I walk on this ground, I know that a legacy is being left here at Clark Atlanta University, Whitney M. Young Jr. School of Social Work.
Atasha Murray, it is a fascinating story. It is a full circle story. But what are some of the other options that you are going to be exploring now? You want to grow this endowment that's in your name. You want to continue to help and give back. What is the rest of the story?
Oh, sure. Well, of course, I still work. I didn't quit my business. I still do see clients because I love to do that. You know, that's what I wake up for every day. So I'm continuing to see my clients. I am working on a book where I'm going to talk about the struggles and the life lessons and everything that I've gone through and want to share and get that book out probably fall. So that's the next step for me.
And as that little girl who was the helper, who was always helping, who people were always soliciting for advice, do you think she could have imagined what you have done?
Wow. Well, I knew that I was going to do some big things in life. I didn't know it was going to be quite this big, you know, and I guess with the money, because when I woke up after the real estate deal closed, and I woke up and I had a pile of cash and never in my life seen that type of money, and I knew that my life was changed. I'm in debt anymore. I can write checks and not worry about it. That what was phenomenal for me, because it was like, wow, you know, I it's favor, you know, do I deserve this? You know, I've always been such a hard worker, and I knew within time I would get to my financial goal, but I just didn't think that it would be, you know, within, you know, 10 years of graduating from with my MSW. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll get there. And so it was kind of one of these things that just kind of happened. I think it was really by fate as well, because Dean Bowles came back just to help out. And I happened to come to the school, and here she is. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is awesome. And so I wanted her to definitely be the first dean to award the first recipient, because that seed that they planted in me, you know, the flowers are blooming, and I'm just so excited to be able to show, you know, what can be done, you know, from one thought, one dream.
And Dean Bowles, that does say a lot about you. You came back, as you mentioned, you're the interim dean,
yes,
of the Whitney Young School of Social Work. Tell us about the school and the students. Atasha Murray is clearly one of the brightest. I mean, I cannot even imagine your pride in knowing that this is one of the students that matriculated under your watch. But tell us about some of the other students, and tell us about some of the things that they're able to go out and do.
Yes. Well, our program now have 342 MSW students. The school was founded in 1920 and was founded in Atlanta specifically to train black social workers, because at that time everything was segregated. And blacks did not have social workers that they could see. So the school was started back in 1920. And later at Clark College, the BSW program was started in the 60s. And then the PhD program was started in the 70s. So we now have BSW, MSW, and PhD programs. Our BSW program has about 50 students in it. Our MSW program has 342 students, some part-time and some in our two-year program. And our PhD student has 30 students, 10 in each class. We are very proud of the school, and we're mostly proud of the products that we have produced. We have produced very similar products to Ms. Murray. Ms. Murray is one of the few who's come back with this kind of a contribution. But our goal is that other people will hear about this, and that we have produced people who are now middle class, and they can begin to think about giving back to the university that also nurtured them and got their careers started. And they can now give back to other students who struggled, as many of our students have struggled.
And for HBCUs, this is not something that happens on a regular basis.
That's right.
As the students have moved into middle class, it seems, you know, that they're also taking care of the generation ahead of
That's
them,
right.
The generation behind them. So the funds to donate to HBCUs is not as overwhelming, so to speak, as maybe at general market campuses.
Yes. What the research shows and the data shows is that for white institutions, the alums give back 20% to 60%, and at some of the private white institutions, as much as 80% of their alums give back. At HBCUs, it's typically less than 10% of your alums who give back. Now, we understand that alums, many of them are first graduates, so they're trying to get their own children started, their families, help their families out, et cetera. But as we're moving where several generations now moving into middle class, we are hoping that alumni will recognize the schools that gave them a start, that nurtured them, and that they will now begin to want to give back. It's not what you give, but that you give. That is what is important.
And every little bit counts.
And every little bit counts, particularly at HBCUs, because we need that money for survival.
And Atasha, you mentioned that it was important for you to support your HBCU.
Yes. Absolutely. It was important for me to support CAU. Because I knew at the University of Georgia, their endowment is way huge and generational money. And I believe that we have to invest in our own institutions and to begin to start with our schools. And then we can begin to build generational wealth.
And you mentioned that you were nurtured at Clark Atlanta University, that you were not just educated.
Absolutely.
And what does that mean? Because I noticed you even mentioned the Clark Atlanta University motto in your press releases and everything about what you're doing. So what did that nurturing mean to you?
Well, as a first-generation student, I still had a huge learning curve, you know, even from coming from University of Georgia. And you had professors in love that will help you with those difficult things. I remember going to a professor's home to help me organized to write my thesis. You know, this is a huge project for me, and taking her personal time to invest in me to make sure that I was able to compete. And so that's, and the love that you knew that you were going to be loved and you wasn't really judged on, you know, your skin color or, you know, who you are. You were told you were great. And that's really all you need is confidence. And once you have that confidence, you know, and I got out here and started working and got this business, I was able to play ball with the bigger guys and we negotiated this huge deal. And that's because all the nurturing and the confidence that people told me that, hey, you know, you can do this. And that stuck with me. And even today, you know, I always think about when I walk across this campus, I'm thinking about somebody invested in me. And where when I was at the bigger institution, it's larger. Sometimes you're a number. Sometimes you don't necessarily always get that extra help.
So when people go to the dichotomy of, are HBCUs still needed? What is your response?
Oh, absolutely still needed.
Yes. I think that the nurturing environment that's provided by HBCUs is immeasurable. We don't know. I give back to a lot of students. They come back and tell me, Dr. Bowles, when you told me I was great, you told me I could make it, you don't know what that meant to me because you were my dean. I'm saying it because I care about them, but I can't tell you the numbers of times students have come back and told me things that I said to them that I don't often recall. And when I said it, I meant it. But it has had significant meaning to them and has helped them to cross hurdles in their own development, their both personal development and their professional development. And I think this is something that HBCUs do all the time, and that we and that Miss Murray represents that kind of nurturing and what it meant for her and the reason that she wants to give back.
We've been speaking with Clark Atlanta University alumna Atasha Murray. She has established a $50,000 endowed scholarship for aspiring entrepreneurs at the Whitney M. Young Jr. School of Social Work at Clark Atlanta University. Well, Dean Bowles, Atasha Murray, I want to thank you. This is such an exciting story. This is just such a wonderful story. And to know that your dean, Dean Bowles, will be presenting this award during the hooding ceremony is just an amazing thing. Atasha Murray, thank you. From all of Clark Atlanta University, thank you. And Dean Bowles, thank you so much for the work that you're doing at the Whitney Young School of Social Work. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you very much.
Us.
Yes.